All right, hey everybody, welcome back to my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads. It's your boy, Sean Christopher Jenkins, and we have here my co-host, my partner in crime, the one who does videos with me all the time, Justin Lee Howell, man. Thank you, Justin, for joining us. We are live on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads. We're also streaming on, well, you're probably watching the playback of the video on Justin's YouTube channel, Chaplain's Log. All right, so thanks for tuning in wherever you're streaming from. You're probably watching from my Facebook or LinkedIn page, Sean Christopher Jenkins. You're probably streaming from my Twitter page, Trouble Don't Last. Go ahead and add me on Threads. Threads is awesome. Go ahead and get that social media app as well. So that's also my
Threads. Is it pretty good?
Honestly, not really. It's nothing special. It's like literally just like Twitter. But I mean, you just planting seeds everywhere, like I've talked about on YouTube before. So yeah, man. Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Snap, and Twitter, Trouble Don't Last. Then my other Instagram page, my_day_Bible. And then my Tumblr page, Trouble Don't Last No. 1. But guys, anyways, we got a treat for you guys today. All right. So on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, you see I have a lot of playlists on there when you scroll down. But just make sure to subscribe. Click the bell as soon as after you subscribe so you're notified whenever I upload another video or anything like that. But I have a lot of playlists. One of the playlists I have is Romans chapter 8. And me and Justin have a lot coming for you this week and next week on just talking about Romans chapter 8. And so this video actually ties in with the sermon I did. So if you want to check out the sermon, go to my YouTube channel, check out this playlist, My Sermons. If you scroll down on my YouTube channel, you can see that playlist right here, My Sermons, underneath, you know, life group lessons, Sunday school lessons, Bible study. But anyways, guys, like for my sermonette, I actually talked about some really deep stuff, right? So my title of my sermonette that I did was, you know, in front of all the board examiners, so all the preachers who are teaching us about ministerial training, teaching us about the discipline and the doctrine, what the AME church believes, what the Bible says, teaching us how to preach and stuff like that. So those I had to preach in front of other pastors, so teachers, and then I had to preach in front of my board examiner students, so the same people who are trying to come in and preach in the ministry as well. And so obviously you have to come with it if you're going to preach with other pastors, because you're not just preaching to other people anymore. It's people that know the Bible like you or way better than you or know it lesser than you. But anyways, all right. So the title of my sermonette was, you know, let it go and pick up what Jesus died on the cross for you for. That was my sermonette title, right? And the text I came from was Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm actually using that text for this video with me and Justin. And the text was, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is the New International Version Bible. I'm going to read it again, Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I used this visual during my sermon. It's the baddest visual ever. I made this visual. So this is from Sean Christopher Jenkins. This ain't for nobody else, right? So each and every single day, the Bible says that you get a choice. You get to choose blessings or curses. You get to choose life or death. You get to choose miracles or not believing in miracles. Let me find a scripture verse. Yes, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. So each and every single day, guys, we get a choice. We can have life or death. And going back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we can choose condemnation or we can choose Jesus each and every single day, right? And so how do you choose condemnation? You choose condemnation by choosing hatred, resentment, bitterness, depression, shame, guilt, anxiety, grudges, discontentment, dissatisfaction. That's essentially death and curses. Choosing unforgiveness, choosing ungratefulness, choosing unthankfulness, greed, self-seeking. Like, this is choosing condemnation. Why is it condemnation? Because you're choosing something contrary to Jesus. You're choosing something contrary to what God wants you to choose and what he created you to live for, right? We all belong to God. We were bought with a price. Our life's not our own. So we're called to operate within the vicinities and parameters and the borders of what God wants us to operate in. So when we choose the opposite of what God has for us, what do you think you're going to get? You think you're going to get God's blessings? No, you're going to get condemnation, right? And so that's the funny thing, guys. You can be a Christian, you can be a child of God, and all your life be experiencing condemnation because you have been choosing it each and every single day. Why? Because you're refusing to forgive people. because you don't think they deserve forgiveness. And because you think you're right to hold, you have a right and a privilege to hold a grudge, but you don't know that that grudge is killing you. It's condemning you. It's causing you to, like in the Bible, it says that, you know, our health is dependent upon forgiveness, essentially. Like holding on to bitterness and grudges and anger. You'll never see a 120-year-old person that's angry and bitter. Like, you're not going to make it that far. That leads to heart attacks. That leads to, you know, cancer. That leads to head problems. Like, Justin knows all the biology stuff. But yeah, guys, so what are you choosing each and every single day? So therefore, going back to that scripture verse, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1, right? Therefore, there is now. So this day, right now, you can be experiencing this right now. You don't have to wait for it. You can get it right now. So therefore, now, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when you're in Christ Jesus, right, Jesus has already paved the way for you. He already done made a miracle for you. He already done giving you all the answers that you needed. Right, he's already giving you the blueprint for how to live. He gave you everything that you need for life and godliness. Right, so he's already given you that happiness, that joy, that mercy, that true satisfaction, that true happiness, the love, the restfulness, you know, peace and tranquility. He already done given that all to you. You just have to choose it and accept it every single day with the people you can't stand, with the job that you hate, right, with the co-workers that just talk about you behind your back, all the rumors that your family tells about you. Like, we have to learn how to operate in Jesus despite the circumstances that's in our life. Because that's the key. When you're in Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter how you perform. You can choose Jesus each and every single time. But the choice is yours, right? So, Justin, man, if you got anything, just go stop me. That's a huge introduction.
Visual, because it really exemplifies Romans 8 really well. Like, if you're bound by like the flesh, or if you're bound by the law, like the law of man, like you're going to believe in that condemnation. You're going to believe of everything that was on that left side right there, because you're going to believe that you're guilty and that you deserve like eternal punishment. But if you adhere to like the, as Jesus put it, or as Paul put it, like the spirit of the law, the spirit that Jesus came, like a spirit of salvation, you're going to have that conviction. And conviction is not like you're condemning yourself, but it's like a strong belief that we're not the original creation that God intended for us. So we have room for improvement. It's like that, the negative, like I deserve punishment, versus the positive, I can do better in the future, or I can be saved, or I can become a new creation. So I really like that visual, because it does just split up that dichotomy of thinking like really well.
Yeah,
I think that was a great, I think that's a great slide to like start out on. I think that was a good one to start your sermonette on.
Yeah, everybody loved it when I showed them that. They also warned me that be careful, like, because other preachers always takes other preachers' stuff. I never thought about that too much. So but I take other people's stuff too, so
yeah. I was about to say, if it's good, you might find a compliment for people to steal your stuff.
Yeah, I just hope they reference me. But I don't always reference people. But anyways, yeah, guys. So like some sermon titles I was gonna have for my sermonette. So I chose, you know, to my sermonette title was "Let It Go and Pick Up What Jesus Died on the Cross for You For." Right. So some other titles was like "Choose Jesus, Not Condemnation." "Choose Jesus Instead of Condemnation." "Choose Jesus Instead of the Pain." "Instead of the Hurt." "Instead of the anger, instead of the bitterness, choose Jesus. Instead of the resentment, instead of the worry, instead of the depression." So are you choosing Jesus? That's the question, guys. So like, condemnation is the believer's kryptonite. I'm gonna say it again. Condemnation is the believer's kryptonite. So if you know anything about Superman, I love superheroes. I actually have on my YouTube channel a playlist specifically for superheroes. Like, eventually, guys, I'll be doing comic book reviews and stuff like that. And be taking
the new Superman series coming out.
No, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited. I saw it's coming out. But yeah, guys, like, I love superheroes. You see, at the very bottom of my YouTube channel, I have a playlist just of all the stuff I've done on superheroes. So I need to do way more stuff on it. It's called, that playlist is called "We Are All Super People," on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads. But guys, like, I love superheroes, and my favorite superhero of all time is Superman, because Superman was the first ever superhero ever made in American culture, right? Like, there's no debate. He's been created in like 1923 or something like that. So because of Superman, we have all superheroes of all time, like even Marvel and DC, right? And so, like with Superman, man, like, let's just focus on the topic at hand. So with Kryptonite, Superman has a lot of weaknesses. Like, he has strengths, but he has a lot of weaknesses. So, like, when it comes to Kryptonite, that's what everybody always thinks about when they think about Superman's weakness, which is the green rock. It's a meteor rock from Krypton, the planet that he's from, that was, you know, eradicated and doesn't exist anymore. So everybody on his home planet died. So, but that Kryptonite can weaken Superman and make him human again. But it doesn't just make him human, it kills him. And it makes him weak to where he can't move or do anything. So it just kills him slowly. And it's agonizing. But that's just one of his weaknesses. Another one of his weaknesses is like the red sun, which that makes him human too. Then another one of his weaknesses is like a black rock, I think. And the black rock, I don't know where that's from, but that makes him, that makes you, you can brainwash him basically with the black rock, right? So like basically Superman has a lot of weaknesses, right? And so, yeah, he got a lot of strengths, but the weaknesses, if you hit him with it, like magic's another one of his weaknesses. Like if you want to beat Superman, do magic. So Shazam is magic. Like that's how Shazam has his powers and stuff like that. So actually it's Superman's weakness anytime he goes against Shazam. So that's why Shazam even stands a chance. So basically I'm just saying Superman got a lot of weaknesses. And just like with Superman, believers have a lot of weaknesses as well. So combination is the believer's kryptonite, right? We can refuse the blessings of God, refuse the things of God by living in a cursed way, in a cursed manner. We're cursing ourselves if we hold on to hatred. We're cursing ourselves and cursing our lives and refusing anything good that God has to offer for us when we hold on to anger and we're hostile towards everybody we come into contact with and hostile towards the people who hurt us. And we just have bitterness or we're depressed all the time. Depression leads to suicidal thoughts. Like, this is not the way that God called us to live. That's the way the fleshly world lives, the carnal world. That's not the way believers should be operating, right? So condemnation is the believer's kryptonite, right? I'm going to hit you guys with another quote. We only condemn ourselves when we aren't living the way God wants us to live. When we don't operate within the parameters and borders that he has decided for us to function in, and in the standards and the manner that God wants us to conduct ourselves in, we're condemning ourselves, right? That's not the way that God wants us to operate. So, yeah, we only hurt ourselves when we choose to do the opposite of what God told us to do. So the question I got for everybody is, like, do you love God more than that hurt you have been carrying around? And do you really believe that the pain that you are so comfortable with holding on to, that anger, that resentment, that bitterness, the hatred you got towards somebody or towards that experience, is it better than the freedom, the liberation, the joy, and the happiness that God has for you? It's not. So many people think that it is. So love God more than that hurt you carry, right? Some people think that holding on to that hurt, that pain, the struggle, the resentment, like, it makes them stronger. No, it's killing you. Like, God has something better for you, right? Mm-hmm. We think that that's the better option, but the better option is letting go. Just let go of the hurt, right? So that's the question I got for everybody. Like, do you love God more than that hurt you have been carrying around? Or are you going to keep on holding on to it, right? I'm going to spoil it, Justin. I'm not even going to do that. But, like, yeah, one of the photos I didn't get to show during my sermonette that I did, my short sermon I did in front of all the board of examiner students and teachers, was this photo. Like, I posted this a long time on my Instagram page on May 18, 2014. And yeah, it's a picture of Jesus giving, you know, telling a little girl, like, you know, give me that little bear, like, trust me and give me that bear. And the little girl's like, no, I don't want to give you this bear. Like, and Jesus says, just trust me. I have better for you. That's what Jesus has for us. Like, we're holding, I'm going to ask everybody a question again. Are you holding on to things that you just need to let go of? And you know you need to let go of. And sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes we're just holding on to grudges. We're holding on to anger. We want to stay angry. And we think that's the better option. It's not. Jesus got so much more in store when we just forgive, when we just have patience instead of, you know, being irritated, right? Like he has something great waiting for us, but we refuse that when we keep on holding on to things that we should just let go of, right? So Justin, you can start when you want to say something, man.
Yeah, I really like the theme of like you're holding on to something, because I think that's like, oh man, that just opens up a lot of things. I feel like that's a big problem with maybe today's Christianity or today's church, is like we might like guilt trip people or make them believe like you are this terrible person, like you can never make up for the bad things you've done, which is, I mean, it's partially true. You can't like outweigh bad things with good things. Like only Jesus is the one who can like fully save us, but they almost make it more condemning to like, to the people outside of our circle. They'll say like, you're sinners and you need to repent, which is a terrible way to recruit more Christians. Or for people within the circle, they'll still like stand on their podium and like make them believe that this is a religion based on always trying to do the right thing or trying to make up for our past deeds or being this impossible perfect figure. And I think that pushes away a lot of people and makes us forget about the love and the grace that Jesus had preached the whole time. If Jesus had waited to reach out to us when we were perfect, like he never would have come to earth 2,000 years ago. So it's very easy for us to hold on to those things. And it's not even, I mean, maybe it's not even Christianity that's forcing us to remember those things. Sometimes we legitimately feel bad for what we've done or like our past mistakes. Like it's so easy biologically to hold on to the negative stuff. Like I've said it before, like our brains are geared to remember the bad things more than the good things, because remembering the bad helps us to avoid those in the future. Mm-hmm. But like taken to the extreme, that's detrimental to our mental health. I remember seeing a quote that was saying, that was asking like, did you really have a bad day or did you have a bad 5 minutes that you're milking for the rest of the day? It's like, man, that's true for like anything. Sometimes I'll just be minding my own business eating dinner, and then I think about this terrible thing I did to somebody like 7 years ago. That person probably doesn't care. Hope not. Some people hold grudges, but like they don't care. But like I'm holding on to this, and like it's I don't know. It's keeping me from being the creation that God wants me to be. Like it's filling my life with shame. Like that was part of the downfall with Adam and Eve, is once they had their eyes open, they were suddenly filled with shame of being naked. And I think that represents us a lot. And then a little kind of jumping ship, but since he showed that picture, I really like that picture of Jesus like holding on to the big bear, wanting to exchange it for the small bear. I think that's really like how the enemy holds us back as well. Like not only by making us remember the bad things that we've done and holding us back, but then offering us something good, like something we think is good, and denying us the better things that God has for our life. There's a movie called God's Not Dead. It was a little preachy, but it was good. It had a good message. I liked it. But one of it was this mother with Alzheimer's, like, she's pretty loopy through the whole movie, but she has like one nugget of wisdom that came out of nowhere. And it's like sometimes the devil surrounds us with a golden cage to make us feel comfortable, to surround us with things that we think we need, and just like make us not realize that we're in a cage to begin with. And I think that's so profound, because like I'm going to reference another book, so I'm making so many references, if you can keep up. But C.S. Lewis had this book called Screwtape Letters, and it's in the mind of a demon. And it's saying, like, the head demon was, like, saying he didn't care so much for, like, war and pestilence and famine, because that's, like, a toss-up. Like, for those, yeah, humans experience pain, But when we experience pain, sometimes we go to God. Like in our lowest moments, we go to God, and that's what God wants. But if we're comfortable, if we're like rich and rich and experiencing like the world's definition of splendor, like not the Bible's version of that, but our definition of it, like we feel too comfortable. We don't want to like leave that spot. We don't seek God. We don't look for the better things He has for our life. And like Sean and I have talked about the difference of prosperity in the Bible versus prosperity of what the world wants you to think prosperity is. And it's like two completely different things. Like God told Joshua that he would have prosperity if he follows him. And Joshua was like stuck in the desert for 40 years. But like God said he had prosperity because he knew God. He had that peace of God. He had the blessings of God. And that, by the world's definition, that's nothing. But by God, by the people who follow him, that's like everything. Right. So it's like so easy to be misguided by the devil. Because that is one of the tricks he uses, is by providing the good things in the world to distract us from what God really has for us.
Yeah. Like when you said that, I thought about Hebrews 11:1. You know, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see, right? So Everybody in this life, like, it's really hard not to do it, but everybody does it. We all do it. All we can see is what we see right in front of us. All we can see is our own reality and our own mind, like how we're perceiving things to happen in our lives and how we take things. So we live in our own realities. We live in our own bubbles. So like when somebody hurts us, yeah, we're going to have resentment and bitterness. Like, we're going to be angry about the past. Like, why did that person hurt me? Like, why did that happen to me? And, like, we just stay there instead of having faith in what God is doing all together. Like, what's his master plan for all the hurts, all the pains, all the suffering that we suffered? Because he has a plan. He's at work. He doesn't waste anything. Nothing happens by accident. So whatever experience that you think so awful, which that's really, really hard to have faith in, but whatever experience that you think was just so dramatic, that was so awful, like, I could have done without that. Why did that happen? Like, you question it. Like, God has the biggest gift waiting for you, because your greatest pain is your greatest ministry. Like, it's the mission that God called you here on this earth to fulfill. It's your purpose. Whatever really grinds your gears, whatever really impacted your life, whatever really is a burden in your heart, that you think is the biggest issue ever in this world, but nobody else thinks it is. That's your calling. That's your purpose. God has a mission. He's at work, right? So, like, man, like, we just think so small-minded sometimes, and we just focus on what we see instead of the greater picture, the what is God really doing in our lives. So this is why it's so important to just let things go. We got to be like a quarterback in the NFL. Man, sports are so powerful. I don't see how they do it, because I didn't do it when I played football. But now I'm learning in life, you can't afford not to do it. But sometimes you just have to have bad memory when it comes to certain things. Certain things you just shouldn't remember. And you should just let go and get rid of. Like, it should not be a thought in your mind. And I really struggle with that, because I calculate everything. Like, I think about everything. Like, I have a pretty good memory. I suck with names. But when it comes to, like, events that happen in my life, and just things that happen, like, I remember everything, especially if somebody offended me. I never forget that. I write it down and I hold on to it when I really should let it go, right? So, yeah, something else I want to tell you guys is, you know, when we really will not know what the other side of healed looks like if we keep holding on to hurt. So nobody glows more than the person who let things go. So nobody is more of a light into the world and shines brighter than a person who has bad memories. So imagine, like, Tom Brady, if he was always lingering on an interception that he threw, or like a bad game that he had, like, he has to have bad memories, because you know why? He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to fumble the ball. He's going against other NFL players. They're going to get the best of him sometimes. But like with Tom Brady, Cam Newton, I don't care. Like, you throw any quarterback that's in the Hall of Fame, like, with all of them, they have bad memory, and they just let things go. Because in life, you got to let go of the hurts that you hold tightly to, right? There's no reason to hold tightly to hurt. What is that going to do for you? What's the benefit of holding on to pain? What's the benefit of holding on to resentment and bitterness? What's the benefit and what's the reward for being unforgiving towards people who have hurt you all your life? And I mean everybody who's ever hurt you, because people will hurt you. People will do you wrong. Are you just going to hold on and be mad at them forever and be mad at everybody? What an awful life. So like in this life, man, we got to let go of the anger that's consuming our minds. You know, happiness will only come and only comes when you let go of the hurt that's holding you back. So letting go of pain is not forgetting about it, but accepting it happened and getting unstuck and moving forward, right? So today we can find peace with where we are and where we have been, you know, so we can go where you're meant to be. Let me read that again. Today, find peace with where you have been so you can go where you're meant to be. That's the only way we can have true peace, if we're content and we're able to move forward from the past, because it's the past, right? So be open to the miracles of a healing, of what a healing heart can bring. So sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. So this is another photo I was going to show you guys. I'll let Justin talk. I know he got stuff to say, man. I've been talking forever, man. But like, I posted this a long time on Instagram page. I don't know when, probably like 2013, 2012. So back when Instagram first came out. But this photo is so powerful, man. So you got somebody holding on to a rope. And it says that sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. And I used to do a game called Tug of War. And I hate rope burns. I used to always get a rope burn during tug of war. So I started wearing gloves, and that was better, but you could still feel the pain, what's the good way of putting it? The burning sensation in your hand from holding on to the rope. But that's what people do, man. They hold on to things that does more damage to them when they should just let go, man. God wants all of us to be free. He wants all of us to operate in freedom, to be liberated. He doesn't want any of us to be in bondage. And so many of us are in bondage to the past. So many of us are in bondage to our hurt, our pain, to the worst things that ever happened to us. When God just wants us to, he wants us to be set free. This is why he came, to set us free. Christ has liberated us. He paved the way for us. This is what I was saying at the very beginning of the video. He's already done made that breakthrough for you. He's already done settled that awful circumstance that you've been through. There's a reason why you went through it. And God has a blessing waiting for each and every single one of us, no matter what pain, no matter what suffering we experience. But we miss out on experiencing that when we hold on to things that God doesn't want us to hold on to. He wants us to let it go, because there's a new page in your life right now, today. There's a blank sheet, a blank sheet of paper every single day of your life that you have not lived through yet. And sometimes we refuse to read the page because we're living in the past. We're living in that hurt that happened to us, or we're waiting for the next hurt to happen to us. So all of our life, all that books, is just about hurts. It's not about anything else God is doing. It's just focused on hurts, struggles, and pains that I went through, when God is doing so much more. So don't miss out on that. All right, Justin, I'm talking forever, man.
Yeah, and just it kind of, I've been rewatching the series Chosen, and I always like get emotional during the pieces where Jesus is like, where he does this thing. I don't know. It's like one word doesn't describe what he does, because it's like such an all encompassing love that I think Christians should embody as well. And it's like a healing process. It's, but at the same time, like an acceptance process. It's like pulling you in. And just everything you said makes me think, that reminds me how Jesus doesn't, I said it before, Jesus doesn't like wait for us to be perfect, or he doesn't, what you said was, he doesn't hang it over our heads. Like all our past mistakes, all the things we messed up on, he doesn't hold it against us, and we shouldn't either. Again, like if Jesus was waiting for us to be perfect, like he never would have come. But like he wants to draw us in. He wants us to come closer. And when I was discussing what a blessing means with some friends, like a blessing could be anything. It could be material. It could be intangible. It could be like an the spirit or an emotion that God is giving us, but I think a common ground that all those things have is a blessing is being closer to God in some way, or seeing the face of God in some way. Because if you look at the Bible, when Jesus calls someone blessed, like, he's not referring to an ailment that was cured or a physical remedy, but he's talking about how their faith has saved them, or how they've gotten to experience God, or experience like one of God's mercies or blessings. And it's just that act of like pulling us closer is just an amazing thing, because it's not, gosh, it's not an act that we've done ourselves. Like Ephesians talks about how the grace, like our salvation is not based on any works that we've done, lest someone should boast, but it's because of the grace and mercy of God and just believing in Jesus. And apart, again, I can't emphasize this enough, his grace and mercy doesn't come from us being perfect or realizing that we're sinners. Although like repentance is a major thing, but it's because that God and Jesus reached out to us first. It is like a two-way street. In Revelations 1:20, I believe, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." Like, Jesus and God are trying to reach out to us. Like, and it's our duty to like open the door, or to like meet him in the middle. We can't be holding on to things from our past, or holding on to things of this world that keep us from experiencing that love, because God and Jesus are trying so hard to like pull them towards a spirit of forgiveness and peace, towards a spirit of conviction. Like, we don't do good, like, Christians aren't supposed to do good things because we're afraid of going to hell. We do good things because we first experience good and love from God. Like, we're able to love because God first loved us. And any church or any religion that is trying to do good not for the sake of doing good, but doing good to avoid like damnation or hell, has something wrong with it. Like, in so many religions, it talks about why we need to be selfless or good so we can achieve nirvana, or go to Brahman, or whatever term they have for heaven. But Christianity is the only one where like a God has come down to us to try to save us, or has come down to us to relieve us of our past mistakes, our past sins. And we do good not because for ourselves, but because of the gratitude that we have. It's kind of like how after living with our parents for years, following their rules, like, we continue to have that morality that they laid out in us because they treated us well. They loved us, and we want to spread that love to other people. And like, sometimes we'll have a rebellious stage. Like, once we move out of the house, we'll think, oh, I can finally do whatever I want. But we quickly find out during college or sometime, then, oh, that's not a good long-term solution, like, at all. But it's like, I don't know, it's that conviction to do good starts because of like the love and the spirit of the law that Jesus came down to deliver us.
Man, you keep on going there, man. I ain't gonna spoil it yet, though. But another video me and Jess gonna do just on this whole series. It's all the same on Romans 8:1, essentially. All right, so somebody asked me a question on social media the other day. Let me go to that tweet. It was on Twitter. So my Twitter page, Trouble Don't Last, by the way, guys, that's all my social media pages. So Instagram, Twitter, Snap, TikTok, and Threads. So add me on there. But they asked me this question. I ain't going to spoil it. I'm not going to go too deep in it, because me and Justin are going to cover this question. But this is good for you, Justin, to see before. But on July 21st, I tweeted this. I said, let go of condemnation so you can live free. So let go of condemnation so you can live free. And this person asked me, I want to, but how? What a question, Justin. I want to, but how? It goes with our devotional. Like, how can you live in freedom? How can you be liberated from the things that's holding you hostage and holding you bondage, that you're a slave to? Like, you got to let go of these things. How do you let go of them? Right? How you let go of condemnation? How you let go of hatred? How you let go of resentment? How you let go of bitterness? How you let go of worry and anxiety? You give it to Jesus. You lay it down at the altar. That was my title of my sermonette. Let it go and pick up what Jesus died on the cross for you for. Jesus already gave you the answer to everything. God has already solved every single problem you ever faced in this life. He's already given you. He already made you an overcomer, right? You were made to overcome everything you face in life. Right? You were made to trample on the enemies and the serpents and step on them, crush them, right? So you can live in freedom. You can be liberated. But how? Right? There's four ways. Going back to the devotional me and Justin read, we're going to break down each and every single one. But like there's four, if you don't know what condemnation is, let me just talk about that real quick. So this is what condemnation is too, guys, by the way. Let's just break this down. So the definition of the word condemnation is the expression of very strong disapproval, the action of condemning someone to a punishment, a life sentence, essentially, right? So it's criticism, disapproval. The opposite of it is praise, but damnation, flack, right? Disapproval, like I said. So is that how you're living and operating? So how do you let go of condemnation? That's what she asked, right? And how you know you're living in condemnation? There's four ways to know that you're living in condemnation. And here the four ways. I made a perfect slide for when me and Justin do these videos, but I'll just focus on the first one for this video because I don't want to get into it yet. Justin, you can do whatever you want with this, mm-hmm. But all right, so there's four warning signs of knowing that you're living in condemnation. Here they are. The first one is you're living in the past, right? You think about the past a lot. Whoo, that's me. I think about the past all the time. We got to stop living in the past, guys. The second way is you can't seem to forgive yourself or forgive others. You know, grace was given to be given to others, right? Grace begets grace. The forgiven must forgive, right? Because that shows that you're the light of the world. You know the love of God. You have the love of God in you. If you just go around not being forgiven to people, are you kidding me? That's a child of the devil. Like, you're... what is that scripture verse, Justin? It says that the... It says if you're forgiving, it's showing that, you know, you have great love in you, right? You have the love of God in you. But if you're not forgiving at all, how is that great love not in you? Like, and you say you're a child of God. Like that, what? That's, yeah, to be forgiven much. Oh, to give, yeah, that's what it says.
Oh.
It says to forgive much, to be forgiven much, you forgive. Right, something like that. But if you don't forgive, you don't. Okay, I'll come to it in a minute.
Yeah,
you'll look it up. All right, I'll go to the next one. All right, so another warning sign that we get from another warning sign.
Whoever is forgiven much loves much. Sorry.
Yeah. Whoever forgiven much forgives much, and whoever doesn't forgive much just shows that they don't have the love of God in them, basically. Right? Because you don't know the love of God. When you experience the love of God, obviously you're going to show people grace and mercy and favor just like God showed you, because you knew you didn't deserve it and nobody else deserves it either. And I don't deserve it. None of us do, but God shows us anyway, so we're supposed to show it to other people. Amen. All right. So another warning sign that shows that you're living in condemnation is you're judgmental. You have a critical spirit, a very critical, harsh, judgmental spirit. So quit judging others. All right. I'm going to tear that one up. That's my favorite one. And then another way that you know that you live in a condemnation is you feel unworthy, right? And the only way to combat that is, you know, Jesus died on the cross for you. Like, God sent his son down for you to pave a way for you to have a relationship with God, pave a way for you to know God, for you to spend eternity with God. That shows that you're worthy. He sent his only son, to die on the cross for your sins. That shows your worth. So realize you are worthy because of God's love, his great love. So, and when you stop living in condemnation and you stop living in this way, these ways of condemning yourself, then you can receive from God what he wants you to receive from him. It'll be much easier to receive from him. So what are you holding on to that you need to let go of? It's going to be hard to receive the things that God wants for you if you continually to suffer in this way. So suffering is not holding you. You are holding on to suffering. That's a lot of people. Like, you know, you're not condemned. You're choosing to be condemned by what you hold on to, by disobeying God, right? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can choose it every single day. He already paid away for you. So are you going to accept him and accept what he did on it, what he died for? Are you going to accept what he already paid away for you for? That gift, that blessing of that freedom of being at peace? This is peace. You can have peace or you can have condemnation. So there's no condemnation. Let go of that guilt. Let go of that shame. Let go of that bitterness. Let go of that resentment. So why are you holding on to things that God never intended for you to carry? He never intended for us to carry those things. Those are things you're supposed to let go and let God. Ooh. I had to play that song before my sermon, Justin. Let go and let God. You know that song?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. As soon as I stop worrying how the story ends, then I let go, then I let go, and I let God have his way. Yeah, so it's a gospel song. You guys know it. Let Go by Dwayne Woods. So y'all check out that song of the day for this video. But yeah, guys, so we can't control the negative circumstances, the negative experiences that we face in this life. We can't dictate which negative person is going to offend us. So we need to choose joy for ourselves. We need to choose what Jesus has for us despite what we go through, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too. Let me read that scripture verse again, Justin. I'm going to go in another area. You know what? What you got to say before I go there?
Yeah, it's a... I was just saying, I won't spoil too much because I really want to get into those videos as well. But you had mentioning, hurt people hurt other people. And I think that's very true because that ties into, your third point of, when we feel judged or we're harsh on ourselves, we project that. We're harsh on other people.
Yeah.
And that affects our relationships, so easily. And I think that ties into how every sin, every act of anger or trigger is related to some trauma or some wound that we haven't let go. And we might not necessarily we might not even be aware of it either because it's in our subconscious. Just to give a bad example, but a girl who's trying to get out into the dating world, trying to find men or is very eager to have relationships, they could have father issues or parent issues or issues of abandonment, and they try to seek that relationship to fill the hole or fill the void. And we do that with a lot of things, or even pornography. It's having that feeling of emptiness from not having a satisfying relationship or wanting to wanting to experience a false love or a mutated version of love that the enemy has gotten a hold of. But yeah, I feel hurting others is usually related to something we're holding on to or something that a wound or a pain that we refuse to let go. And I like that girl's questions of how do we live condemnation free? And honestly, it's just through practice. Just at the beginning, we showed that slide of we wake up every morning choosing either condemnation or choosing a spirit of love. We have to wake up every morning deciding on what are you going to hold on to? And you won't just let everything go all at once. Otherwise therapy would be cheap. But we practice every day of forgiving ourselves just as Jesus has forgiven us. Not forgiving ourselves in the sense of being irresponsible or callous or apathetic, but forgiving ourselves into realizing that we can reflect on the past for a better tomorrow or just a better today. We've talked about this before. There's a good balance between remembering the past, reflecting the past versus being stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. And then there's a balance of planning the future, deciding things for your future versus being anxious about your future. Every emotion, every feeling we have has, in my belief, a healthy, pure form versus a mutilated mental baggage mutation. And it's I wish I knew how to segue into this better, but like if we have like if we find that balance of like forgiving ourselves while still remembering, I think that's like that's how we can live without condemnation. Like there is a like there's forgiving ourselves by forgetting the past, and that's not healthy for our future. Then there's forgiving ourselves while still remembering the past that helps us for a better future. I'm just blabbing on now, so I'm gonna stop there. But I think there's like a good balance of like taking care of ourselves so we can take care of other people. We can't think about taking care of other people before taking care of ourselves, because how we treat ourselves will be how we treat each other. And that, like, that spirit of judgment, that spirit of criticism is like, it has its source somewhere. So if like we're critical of other people, we might have to like reflect and look back on ourselves to figure out like, why do I feel this way? That's like one of the best things my wife has probably helped me with, is like when I feel an anger or something, like I'm able to, through practice, it didn't happen right away. Through practice, I'm able to like stop and think, why do I feel this way? Was it something that happened into my past? Is it something I'm worried about in the future? So just like stopping and practicing and just being able to evaluate yourself is super, like, beneficial towards our mental psyche, our spiritual psyche.
Man, we preaching, bro. Like, because honestly, I'm way deeper than what I thought it was going to be. Like, I knew it could get deep. Like, cause this is deep. But, like, I didn't know it was going to flow like that. Like, you know, it's flowing perfectly. Like, there's just so much to say, guys. Like, I want to share all this, the quotes and stuff I looked up for living in the past. But that would be another video. All right, I'm saving that. I'm not going to give y'all my hint with that. But, like I said, with the word, the definition of the word condemnation is to sentence yourself to all the disapproval, all damning yourself to all the hurt and the struggles, like condemning yourself. That's what the word condemnation means. It's sentencing yourself to the pain and the painful experiences of the past that you experienced, right? Feeling like you ain't worthy enough to move past it, because you messed up, you made a mistake, or other people made a mistake, said you ain't worth nothing, you'll never amount to a hill of beans. Now you believe that, and you're sentencing your life to that. Like, we have to let go of the hurt, guys. Like, because as long as you're exposing yourself to whatever the past is, it's going to be really hard to let go. I said that earlier. And the more anger you hold in your heart toward the past, the less capable you are at loving your present. Today is a gift from the Lord. It is the present. It's a present. Every single day is a present. Have you opened your gift today? Right? Have you moved forward? Like, now looking back, moving ahead, I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. Things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. So you got to choose Jesus. Y'all got to listen to that song, Moving Forward. Who is that by? By Free Chapel. Check out that song, guys. But like, yeah, man, there's a bright future waiting for each and every single one of us. But you have to let go of your past. You can't define yourself by your past. You can't limit yourself to your past. Why? Because God doesn't even do that to you. He could have did that to Rahab. She was a prostitute. He could have did that with Tamar. She was a prostitute too. But they both ended up being ancestors of Jesus. They're in Jesus' lineage. Those are one of his grandparents. Are you kidding me? Prostitutes. Bathsheba? Yeah, y'all forgot about her. In Jesus' lineage. Help make Jesus. So your past is a lesson. It's not a life sentence. So forgive yourself and focus on the future. Focus on now. God is doing a new thing, man. Stop living in regret, man. Never be a prisoner of your past. It's just an experience. It's not a life sentence. So, man, I'm going to wait. I ain't going there. But guys, have you been condemning yourself to the past? Have you been condemning yourself to your awful experiences, the horrendous circumstances that you have been accustomed to? Or have you freed yourself? Like, unshackle yourself. Jesus has already done it, but some of us keep on putting back on the shackles. Like, man, that was an awful experience. Anytime we think about it, just pray about it. It takes time. We talked about that before. Justin, how long did it take to forgive somebody? It's dependent on what happened to you. How awful was it? How old were you? Like, you know, like, but it's a process. And you have to go through the process with Jesus. You're not alone. Jesus is with you to help you to go through it. He's going through it with you, man. So we can't control negative people, negative experiences, negative anything, but we can choose for ourselves which God we will serve. Will we serve condemnation, the pain, the past, grudges, anger, you name it? Or will we choose Jesus? Life, blessing, curses, I mean, blessings, favor, mercy, forgiveness. It's a better way of living right there. You guys know it just from just thinking about it, right? God's giving you the vision, what that life looks like. So which suffering will you choose? Will you choose suffering for Jesus? You know, Jesus in our suffering, right? Or would you choose suffering without Jesus, which is condemnation, depression, suicide, anxiety, worry? It leads down a dark road. We get a choice every single day. So choose ye which God you will serve. We can find joy in our suffering because we find Jesus in our suffering, just like I said a minute ago. So the cross is a reminder that suffering can be redemptive. God can redeem us. On the cross, Jesus transformed the worst suffering imaginable in an act of salvation. And that's what God can do with us. That's what the cross symbolizes, right? God turned the worst thing ever, the worst way to die, into something beautiful. Now everybody wear a necklace, a cross. Now everybody at the cross, we just talking about Calvary, the worst experience ever, became our victory. That's how it is with God, man. And that's what's going to happen with you. So you got to let go of the hurt so you can experience, you know, Sunday instead of Friday, just like, you know. He died on Friday. He rose on Sunday. You guys get it. Oh, that's for the church people in the back. So, you know, the only condition for no condemnation, right, is being in Christ Jesus. So you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man. You get to experience a life of no condemnation, no damnation, no separation from God. Ooh, so can you lose your salvation? That's what Romans 8:1 is talking about. Therefore, there is now, right now, today, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you can't be condemned because Jesus paid the price for you. So because of the price that he paid, his righteousness, that his perfectly living, that's the way God looks at you. He looks at you like you're Jesus. He looks at you like you made no mistakes. So does your performance not matter? No. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Right now, today. So no matter if you think you backslid, no matter if you think that you've made mistakes and you can't be redeemed or anything like that, you got negative, if you feel like you're worthless because you just can't get it right. Paul talked about that in Romans 7. Justin, you got something to add. Go ahead. But in Romans 7, Paul said, you know, the things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. But the things I want to do, I don't do at all. Paul was talking about in the flesh, like he just doesn't get it right, right? But the only condition for no condemnation is being in Christ Jesus. So if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are good. Works won't save you anyways. Only Jesus does, right? We're going to talk about that later. That's a side note. But instead of living in condemnation, let's let those things go so we can have what Jesus died on the cross for us for. He has it for us, man. So, Justin, you got anything, man, for you?
It's again, like, that's a... The fact that we have a choice in the matter shows that God loves our character. He loves our, he wants us to be our own person. And like, if he just wanted followers, he could like brainwash everyone into just following him like automatons. But like the fact that we have a choice in the matter is kind of a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because like our choice to follow God makes it that much deeper. It makes our convictions stronger. Like, a conviction is just not just a belief. It's a strong belief. It's a soul-rendering mission to follow through with something. Like, conviction is not a light word. And the fact that if we choose that, like, it makes us that much stronger. Man, if you're told by your parents or your family or your wife or husband to, like, do something, it's like, whatever reason, like, something in our... as humans, we just hate being told what to do. So the fact that God lets us have that choice makes it so much stronger. And that's what I want you guys to take away with the word conviction. Is it's not a lighthearted, yeah, I feel like doing this today. No, it's like an obligation to surrender your life for something. And like, it's a curse because unfortunately, not everyone will... decide for themselves that that's not the best thing for them. And it's like heart-wrenching that people might see Christians today by like it's all fire and brimstone, or we only do good not because we were made to be creatures of love, but because we're trying to escape the hell of a cruel God. And that's where it's like, it just saddens my heart to see people with that vision. But I mean, that comes with the territory of giving us free will, is that God loves us too much to like force us into anything, but our conviction will be stronger for it if we choose for ourselves. Like, we wake up every morning and make that choice for ourselves.
Right. Yeah, guys. So last things I want to say to you, you know, tying around old shame, guilt, and hurt only hinders the blessings of God and gives the devil a place in your life where he doesn't belong. Guys, I'm going to show the visual again, man. This is from Sean Christopher Jenkins. Guys, I did not get this from anywhere else. Like, this is from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. It's everything I learned with Romans 8:1. So y'all make sure, if anybody take this sermon, it is from me. And let's sue them. I want the money. I'm just kidding. But, but all right. Yeah, so, like, guys, each and every single day, you get a choice. You can choose condemnation. So you can live in the flesh, or you could choose Jesus and live by the Spirit. And so when you're living in the flesh, this is the way Satan wants you to operate. This is all Satan. This shows that you are a child of the devil, right? Let me go to the next one. You're unforgiving. You're ungrateful. You're unthankful. You're greedy. You're self-seeking. You're not content about anything. That just shows, man, like, boy, you are not a child of God. Like, and that's not the way children of God should be operating, right? We have failed. We want to operate like this sometimes. In the flesh, it will come out. Your old man will come out. But God has made a new man. What is that scripture verse? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ. You don't operate in the flesh anymore. You don't live carnally anymore. We can't choose to act like this anymore. God got something better. Living by the Spirit. It does not make sense. It does not make sense to be happy when somebody does you wrong. It does not make sense to be content when life is crap. It's the S word. I'm not going to say it. Right? But God can give that to you in the midst of your suffering, no matter what you experience, no matter how awful life is, no matter how bad things get for you. You can experience hell here on earth. You will still have joy because you got Jesus in the midst of your suffering. If you live by the Spirit and operate within the parameters and the borders that God wants us to operate in. That's the video for today, guys. Like, are you choosing condemnation or are you choosing Jesus? So are you tired around with condemnation that bag when you can just let it go and leave it at the cross and accept the best bag ever that God got for you that's way bigger, right? Just like with the photo we showed with the teddy bear, way bigger than that little itty bitty tiny teddy bear that little girl had. God got something better waiting for us. All we got to do is let go of what we know and what we think is right to accept it. So holding on to those things that we're supposed to let go of only keeps us in a season that we're no longer supposed to be in. You want to know why nothing's changing for you? Because you ain't learned the lesson that God wants you to learn in this season. You don't have the right character for the blessings that you're asking for. You will just squander it. God's not going to get you to the, he's not going to move you on to the next level. He ain't going to progress you if you ain't ready to, if you're not prepared for it. You know, God knows your heart better than anybody else. He knows your heart better than you. He knows what you need better than you do. So we better make sure we're praying and we're on right in right accord with him and right standing with him, right? So we can move forward and progress the right way, right? So as long as we are in bondage to the things that hurt us, we are not walking in freedom. And God wants you to walk freely. He does not want you to be condemned walking around with baggage. That does not make no sense, right? For anybody. As a child of God, are you kidding me? You know what heaven's going to be like? A place for no sorrow, no pain, no tears, no suffering, no nothing bad, no sin, like no condemnation. Like, that's a beautiful place, guys. You think we're going to be walking around thinking about the past? Like, and not like, man, they bombed me to death. I'm in heaven now. Like, they messed me up. Like, what sense does that make? You're going to be happy. Like, finally. Dang, this is what I've been waiting on. Like, this, shoot, you should have signed me up sooner. Maybe die as a baby. But, you know, guys, like, man, we just hold on to things with our little bit limited minds. You guys see what we're saying, guys. So, I want to go back to hurt people, but Justin, go ahead, man. Like, because you got me wanting to hit that now.
Oh, it's. Man, I'm trying to think of, like, try not to spoil too much for, like, the hurt people, because man, I know that's, like, a step three, like, the point three video that's going to be really good. But I kind of want to go into like more about, I guess, like I've just been reading more about like our spiritual hangups as well. That kind of ties into what you were saying. It's like, it's like we don't know like what's keeping us like held back as well. I'm going back more into the picture you had of like sometimes letting go is like more healing for us.
Yeah.
I think there are like so many routes we can go by this as well. But when I was thinking is like, sometimes we don't feel like we're worthy enough. And that's what we're holding on to. Like in our finite way of comprehending God, like God is like too big for us to possibly fathom. So we like put him in a box. It's hard for us to imagine a being that can forgive us or make us worthy of something just because we don't think we're worthy of it. I can't remember if that's one of the points that you're making before, but a lot of times that's what's holding us back is because in life we've been unintentionally betrayed, whether it's by friends, by acquaintances, by family. Like we're disappointed or let down in some way, or like we're made to believe that we're not worthy or not good enough. Oh man, especially like not good enough. Like I've been studying to be a future parent or future dad one day. Like I see, man, that's something I notice in movies more is like just the trauma parents unintentionally put on their kids. Like, and it's not because parents are being mean, but it's because parents are people. They want their kids to succeed. They want their kids to be the best versions that they can be. But a lot of their attempts might be misguided or harmful to them. So a lot of us have that trauma of not believing that we're good enough for something, let alone good enough to be forgiven or to good enough to deserve heaven. Because a lot of times maybe our brains are like they've just been rammed with thoughts of we deserve hell, we deserve this as sinners, we deserve it due to the mistakes that we've made, we are the mistakes that we've made. But no, like Jesus is trying to teach us that we're more than the mistakes we've made or summers of past mistakes, as the 10th Avenue North song goes, that even though we might not actually deserve to be forgiven, truth be told, but like it's not a matter of if we deserve it. It's a matter of like God has forgiven us and God has made us his children. Like we are heirs to God. Like we've received that inheritance from him. So because we accepted God, because we've been made his children, no matter what we've done, we deserve to be forgiven. And that's the thought. That's what we need to believe in right there.
Mm. Yeah, you ended the video good. You know, I'm not going to go there. We're done, guys. Like, I'm going to wait to say anything with hurt people. All right, so. I pray you guys enjoyed this video. Justin, you good? You got anything else you want to add?
No, I like the last bit I added. we need to jump into the slide you showed before of the 4 points though, especially that third one. Like hurt people, or like a critical spirit is like a sign of condemnation.
You know what?
I can't wait.
Yeah, like we'll tie in hurt people with that one then.
Mm.
That'll be the next one. All right. So, cause I'm ready for that one. Like that's why I even want to do this video, guys. Like, all right, but I'll save that for the next video. But guys, if you enjoyed this video, you know where to find us, man. Like make sure to support our social media pages, please. Like I got the best social media pages ever. Just talking about mine for now. But like my YouTube and podcast, Upload Past Crossroads, my Facebook, LinkedIn, Sean Christopher Jenkins, my Twitter, Snap, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads now, Trouble Don't Last. My other Instagram page, _Daniel_Bible, my Tumblr page, Trouble Don't Last #1. Now, Justin's YouTube channel is Chaplain's Log. So make sure to subscribe to his YouTube channel and subscribe to mine, Upload Past Crossroads. And after you subscribe, click the bell right here so you're notified whenever we upload another video. So you're turning on the post notification. And when you watch our videos, watch them all the way through. Like, comment, and share. If you don't do those things, you're watching it for nothing. Like, you're hurting the algorithm and hurting our pages. But thank you for your support anyways. All right. But yeah, my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads. Like I said, I have a lot of playlists lying here. So, you know, I referenced Superman. So if you want to hear more me talk about superheroes, and I'm about to do studies on my on comic books that like how it relates to the Bible, you know, why I love it and what God taught me through it. It's going to be crazy, guys. So y'all check out that. That's coming soon. I just need somebody to help me with that. So if you like comic books and you want to do that, just let me know, please. All right. And so, like I said, too, if you scroll up, you see that, you know, I have sermons, you know, Sunday school lessons, Bible studies. You have playlists on just all the studies and sermons I did. So check out my sermons playlist to see my sermonette that I did. So my sermonette, like I said, is called Let It Go and Pick Up at the Cross What Jesus Died on the Cross For You For, something like that. So it's going to be on here. I just got to edit the video. And then me and Justin got a lot more videos coming out on Romans 8. So, yeah, guys. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming for you guys. So if you enjoyed this video, thanks for watching all the way through. Make sure to share it with somebody else. Tell them about Justin Lee Howell and Sean Christopher Jenkins. We appreciate you. You guys are truly a blessing. And you guys have a great rest of your week. But we'll probably talk to you again before then. So peace out, guys. Talk to you later.
Y'all stay blessed.